This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're talking about the struggles of fisherfolk here in Malaysia when it comes to illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing and what needs to be done to address this.
So this comes from an op-ed written by Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato in Malaysia Kini. You're shortly about to hear from her as well. She's our guest for the segment. And according to figures from the Fisheries Department, in 2019, Malaysia can lose or could have lost up to 6 billion ringgit a year because of IUU fishing, again, that is illegal, unreported, unregulated. And if we look at the actual numbers in 2019, despite increased enforcement and surveillance, we did report losses of 4.2 billion ringgit.
So the struggles that the actual people on the ground, the fisher folk, face due to this are multiple things, right? So they obscure border boundaries, they cause maritime territorial disputes, they destroy coral reefs, which in turn then, of course, affects the ability for them to fish. Then there's the issue of a transshipment, which essentially is the act of using smaller vessels to then transport fish to larger vessels, which is illegal, and human rights violations. So, needless to say, I think this brings into question why more hasn't been done and how, at the end of the day, something that needs more regulation is actually affecting the people who are doing that trade, not just as a way of livelihood, but legally.
Yes, and we don't have to start from scratch. There are existing frameworks that we could sign on to participate in. So, for example, the government could ratify the Working in Fishing Convention and the Cape Town Agreement, which would protect Malaysian fisherfolk as well as Malaysian waters. Kasturi actually also pointed out in her op-ed that the maximum penalty for a foreign vessel trespassing was increased to 6 million ringgit, which is up from 1 million. That's a huge increase. But this hasn't deterred illegal activity. And all of which to say, this is a huge industry. And as a country that has its roots in this industry, I think that we do need to be paying more attention to it. It's one of those things, I think, that gets lost in the daily shuffle of things, in politicking and all the rest of it, that this is a community that perhaps we don't give enough time and focus to. And so I'm glad, hopefully, that we're going to see something come of this.
A community we don't give enough time and focus to, except for when it starts impacting us directly.
And they feed us. You know, it's just... Anyway, just wanted to say that.
We will be joined very shortly by Batu Kawan MP YB Kasturi Pato, but do share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line is Batu Kawan MP YB Kasturi Pato. Kasturi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much.
So to start off, could you tell us about the issues that our local fisherfolk are facing due to this illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing?
So I think some of the points that you had mentioned just now already covered the issues that our local fisherfolk are facing. But primarily due to the lockdown, due to how governments were dealing with the pandemic, which of course meant that there was a greater restriction of fishermen going out to sea, where they were going to store their catch and the produce, etc. In this case, you find that through the illegal, unregulated and unreported fishing activities, many of our local fisherfolk suffered greatly, particularly during the pandemic, because these were the ships and vessels that were out illegally, in a sense that there was no monitoring, or rather, even if there was monitoring, they would have found a way around crossing borders, evading the sharp eye of our maritime or border patrol and enforcement agency at sea. And they would then, you know, literally scoop up or rather vacuum out all the produce from the sea, regardless of which zone ships are allowed to, or vessels are allowed to be in. In Malaysia, we have measurements of what kind of trawler, what kind of boats, what kind of ships And it's categorized according to zones, the distance in kilometers from the land right until the middle of the ocean. So there are guidelines on the size of the vessel, which also equates to the size of the nets or the methods that's used to fish. So you find that when there's unregulated or illegal trawlers, illegal ships, vessels coming into our seas, at a time where our fisher folk are told that we cannot go out or our activity is limited, these are the people who come and take away that produce, take away that catch. And you find that a lot of our fisher folk, their revenue was greatly affected because they are the frontliners at sea. And they are the ones who supply and deliver or bring our steamed fish, our fried fish, our fish nuggets, in our fish burgers and fish cutlets, all end up on our tables through them. But when you find this other party, doing this, then you find that their revenue is greatly affected. Also, that just like how you hear of money laundering, where black money is mixed with white and then it's, you know, legalized, you find that in this case, through IUU, illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, you find that there is also a scenario of fish laundering. Today, we don't know whether all the fish that ends up in our local markets, in our pasar pagi, are fish that aren't mixed with IUU fishing. Because it is such a lucrative business, it's such a lucrative industry. And these illegal entities, you know, those trawlers, ships that come into our seas, or even guys from our side crossing over into other parts of the sea to catch, they often pay, for example, up to 30,000 ringgit a month to our local fisher folk just so that they can use the boat and be recognized or looked at, oh, it's a local Malaysian boat, you know. But actually the produce is then, it ends up being as part of a transshipment trade. And that's a big, big problem. And transshipment is illegal in Malaysia. But the thing is, even though it is illegal, you know, these syndicates have a way around the law to carry on their dirty deeds.
So what efforts then are currently being made by the government to address this, and have they been effective?
I think it's very important to note that a few weeks ago, the Scar Through Rage had a little write-up, a very good detailed write-up on what our enforcement agencies are doing, what are the challenges that they face. And one of it is on these obscure borders. Sometimes you find that from far, our enforcement agencies identify and they know that this is a vessel that's not supposed to be in our waters, particularly the activity that they're doing, which is to this IUU. And as they approach them, even very subtly, they are normally given a tip-off as how you find that, you know, even on land when you have police roadblocks and you have all this operations around whether it's ops, all these ops that the authorities or the enforcement agencies carry out and conduct, and you find that many of these perpetrators escape these ops because there are informers around. And there are also informers or tontos at sea. And this is also something that was shared by our enforcement agency. So before they actually get to the vessel is tipped off and they quickly make a dash. Now, when I say a dash, it just means that when you cross over this border or boundary, if it's obscure or not, as long as you are not in Malaysian waters, then our Malaysian Marine Enforcement Agency cannot take action on them. So it's very, very difficult to nab them. And I believe that the MMEA is in the process of acquiring more enforcement, more vessels with enforcement technology, more surveillance and more patrolling technology, I believe. But it is not just the enforcement through this method. This is to nab them. But I believe that the prevention is more important. And looking at how busy the Straits of Malacca is, it's one of the busiest streets, or rather the busiest sea trade in the world, I think we also have to know that when you're dealing with this kind of a scenario, the country is opening itself up also to many violations, including violations of human rights, where crews on vessels are treated badly, where they can be smuggled. In fact, there was a vessel when authorities, you know, stopped the vessel and went in to inspect, they found that some of the crew had died, some were malnourished, and some even had beriberi. And I think when was the last time we ever heard of someone having beriberi? It was something so back in those days, and it's still happening till today. So I think that while there is good effort in increasing the number of vessels with better surveillance, and also increasing penalties, but we're talking about billions and billions of ringgit of revenue and money that's just virtually floating around. I think an increase of 1 to 6 million ringgit is significant, but I don't know if it will be a deterrent, because the root cause is still the fact that there is so many other smaller issues that we are dealing with, you know. So particularly on this, even when countries are claiming that this is my part of the sea and this is your part of the sea, and this kind of an issue is also a problem. We have had Malaysian vessels being caught by Indonesian authorities saying that they were in Indonesian waters when they were not. We've had Indonesian vessels being caught or arrested or detained by Malaysian authorities, even though they said this is not. So we also have that kind of an issue that we are facing.
So we just have about 1 minute left. How will ratifying the Working and Fishing Convention and Cape Town Agreement help with the situation?
Okay, so these are two very important conventions that I believe the Malaysian government should look into and ratify as soon as possible, only because these are international standards and international instruments that we can use to ensure that our crews are safe, are treated well, have their rights protected and preserved while they are on vessels. It is to ensure that vessels are safe to go out to sea. Today, we have many, many vessels that are old, that are not even supposed to be out, and yet it is operating, which is a danger not only to the crew, but also to the environment, the oil spillage, the danger of accidents happening at sea, the danger of sinking. It will also mean that there will be a greater clampdown on the IUU, the illegal, unregulated and unreported fishing. Apart from that, it will create a scenario or a platform for more fisher folk to be given equal opportunities to be able to fish at sea. So there will be no one party, one group that dominates, particularly syndicates, you know. So these are some of the very important things. And also, if a country like Malaysia ratifies the CTA and the Working in Fishing by ILO, it also means that we will not have to use so much resources in rescue missions. One of the provisions of the CTA is greater search and rescue effort. You know, it is a collective effort by countries in the region. And I understand that Indonesia is looking at ratifying the CTA next year in 2022. I think there is still time for Malaysia to review the contents of the CTA. And again, international conventions are non-binding. Only domestic laws will work. But again, it shows that Malaysia is a state party that gives importance to the lives and the livelihood of fisher folk. And to date, there are 16 countries that have ratified the CTA. I hope the Malaysian government will put this as important as all the other issues on the agenda, bring it to cabinet, and would agree on signing and ratifying the Working in Fishing Convention and also the Cape Town Agreement for the benefit of our livestock, our ocean, our fisher folk, and in general, the ecosystem and economy of the country and the region.
Kasturi, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Batukawan MP YB Kasturi Pato. And now the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.